FM radio stations that that came into being, how they were born out of these 1990s resistance movements. To learn.
This is WGXC Acra, 90.7 on your dial. Also online at wavefarm.org/WGXC.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one that I can't find. The one where the guitar plays so fine, 'cause that's the only song that my baby likes to hear.
Turn out to the WGXC Record Fair, Sunday, September 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Basilica Hudson, 110 South Front Street in Hudson, near the Amtrak station. There are still a few spots left for vendors. If you'd like to get a table, email info@wgxc.org. WGXC Record Fair coincides with the Basilica Soundscape, September 13th through 15th, an immersive, innovative weekend of art, music, and culture. Turn out for the WGXC Record Fair, Sunday, September 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Basilica Hudson.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jedi Grandmaster Yoda of Boone, North Carolina. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper. Columbia County officials are thinking about imposing occupancy taxes on short-term rentals like Airbnb, and it will likely take until 2021 for the law to go into effect. In preparation, the County Board of Supervisors Subcommittee on Occupancy Taxes met July 17th and identified questions to be resolved before the proposal is presented to the public and the full board. Board Chairman Matt Murrell has asked that the questions be answered by February, thereby allowing time for a public hearing before a board vote on the resolution can be held in March or April. If the resolution is approved, the county will have to await approval by both houses of the state legislature. Assistant County Attorney Heidi Conkren said that approval could take at least a year. The open questions include, will the tax include the city of Hudson? How will the county allocate the tax revenue? And how will the county collect the taxes and enforce collection? The next meeting of the Subcommittee of Occupancy Taxes is 4 p.m. Wednesday, August 21st at 401 State Street in Hudson. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Kenneth C. Crow II reports in the Albany Times-Union that Republicans and Democrats in the Rensselaer County Legislature have agreed to extend a one-year moratorium on solid waste facilities within a mile of the Hudson River to also include any area within 1 mile of a tributary of the Hudson River or a reservoir or drinking water source. Republican Legislature Chairperson Michael Stammel says the amendment should be approved after being introduced to the legislature at the August 13th meeting. Quote, in light of Hoosick Falls and other situations with water, there's nothing too big or too small to protect our waterways, unquote, said Democrat Peter Grimm, the minority leader in the legislature. The city of Rensselaer approved a Biotech America trash processing plant at the former BASF site before the moratorium was passed. In Greene County earlier this year, there was a proposal for an ash dump near the Hudson River, which was withdrawn. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union.
Bill Williams is reporting for WCTW-FM. Local newsman and radio personality John Jack Race Sr. passed away July 30th at the age of 78. Race died at St. Peter's Hospital in Albany following a battle with cancer. Race was a Hudson native. He attended and graduated from Hudson's St. Mary's Academy in 1960. Race then attended the National Academy of Broadcasting in Washington, D.C., and returned to Hudson and began a 15-year career as the news director for WHUC-AM. He was also the originator of the listener-favorite Party Line show. Race eventually became the communications sergeant and public information officer for the Columbia County Sheriff's Office, serving in that capacity for 15 years before his retirement in 2002. Read the full story at 985thecat.iheart.com.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that the Village of Athens is now a clean energy community, allowing the municipality to apply for $30,000 in state funding. The towns of Catskill, Greenville, Gallatin, Kinderhook, Hillsdale, Ankrum, Chatham, Ghent, Canaan, and Austerlitz, the villages of Kinderhook and Philmont, and the city of Hudson are all clean energy communities. Quote, we are pleased to become a New York State clean energy community, both for the steps we've taken to get here and the funds that will now be available to us, unquote, Athens Village Mayor Stephen Bredichik said. The Village of Athens recently converted its streetlights to LED and is creating a unified solar permit. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
David Lombardo is reporting for the Times Union. New Yorkers who choose to hunt, trap, and fish with a suspended sporting license could soon face tougher penalties. Legislation making hunting, fishing, or trapping without a license a misdemeanor offense is awaiting Governor Andrew M. Cuomo's signature. The offense would be punishable with 90 days in jail and a $1,000 fine. Harold Barber, vice president of the PBA of NYS, which represents environmental conservation officers and forest rangers, said the existing punishments do not discourage people from operating with a suspended license. Licenses can be suspended or revoked for injuring or killing someone, endangering someone by negligently discharging a weapon, using artificial light to kill a deer or bear, and illegally killing a deer, moose, or bear. If signed into law, the penalties would take effect 6 months later. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that a review board assessing maternal deaths for women who die in childbirth was signed into law by Governor Andrew Cuomo on August 1st. Quote, New York has made significant progress ensuring every woman in the state has equal access to high-quality health care before, during, and after pregnancy, unquote, Cuomo said in a statement. Quote, racial disparities in maternal mortality is a national crisis. And with the creation of this expert review board and advisory council, we are tackling the problem head-on to ensure safer, healthier pregnancies for all, unquote. The board assessing will make recommendations after studying maternal deaths in childbirth. 2010, New York ranked 46th in the nation for maternal mortality, but has since improved to 30th out of 50 states. Recently, Columbia Memorial Hospital in Hudson said it's giving up on delivering children as of October 1st, sending mothers to Albany. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting Ulster County Executive Patrick Ryan has directed County Health Commissioner Dr. Carol Smith, and I quote, to take every step necessary to help prevent the spread of tick-borne diseases, including the implementation of an expanded public awareness campaign, end quote. The order came after the recent death of a Gardiner resident from Powassan, a tick-borne virus spread by infected deer ticks. Republican State Senator Susan Serino of Hyde Park said, and I quote, ticks are out in full force, and it is important to always do a tick check on yourself, your loved ones, and your pets each time you come inside after spending any amount of time outdoors, end quote. Serino also criticized the Democratic leadership in Albany, saying there has been, and I quote, a noticeable backslide, end quote, of late in the state's effort to combat Lyme and other tick-borne diseases. She cited cuts to funding for research, education, and prevention of the diseases as evidence of the lapse and warned of the resulting threat to public health and safety. You can read that full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
William J. Kemble reports for the Daily Freeman that there were no signs of Confederate flags for sale July 31st at the Ulster County Fair. On opening day, three vendors were selling Confederate-themed T-shirts, belt buckles, and small skulls. Then organizers discussed the fair's 2015 ban on items with stars and bars themes with the vendors, and they were gone the next day. Quote, we went out immediately after being told about the items, Fair General Manager Gary Newkirk said. Quote, all the buckles are gone, the T-shirts are gone, everything that was pointed out is gone, unquote. Previously this year, the Ulster County Fair booked, and then unbooked, a band called Confederate Railroad that often display Confederate symbols. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday should be mostly sunny with a high of 77 and a low around 55. Monday should be sunny with a high of 79 and a low around 60. You're listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM Acre Catskill Hudson Radio for open ears.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda. I'm from Hudson, and I'm 17.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Books we enjoy.
Bookish things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very excited because there are three of us here today. Sometimes there's four of us, and sometimes there's even more, but usually there's two to four of us. And lately it's been two of us.
So we missed you.
We're so glad Mashuda's here.
Yeah.
Yay. So what have you all been up to this summer? We don't always get to catch up.
I went to New Jersey for a bit.
Whoa.
For?
A dance competition.
Yay. Was it fun?
What kind of dance competition?
Hip-hop and tap.
Hip-hop? Wow. Mm-hmm. Do you like hip-hop?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But I also got to hang out on the boardwalk, which was fun.
I've never been to the boardwalk down there.
It's really nice.
But I've
been
to
a lot of arcades.
A boardwalk. Oh, what have you been up to, Mashuda?
Working.
What are you doing for work?
Like, I think last week we did a performance at PS21.
Oh, cool.
And it was very fun.
And who are you working with?
Last week or?
No, who do you work with?
Oh, I work, sorry. My mind. Okay.
My mind is fried today.
Yeah.
Because too hot.
It's too hot. Yeah. I work in Operation Unite.
Yay. I know there was a drumming workshop that they had at the library. So I got to see Mashuda there.
I get to see
Amelia at the library too.
Yeah.
So Amelia's been helping out with the kids program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw her, I think, a few weeks ago.
Yeah. You brought your little sister, I think.
Yeah.
Aw. Hi, little sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was helping out, and then we painted. It was fun. It was a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've mostly been working all summer, but I took a few days to go up to New Hampshire to visit my parents and my sister and her husband. The kids were visiting, and we went up to the Lakes region and hung out up there, and we went to see Weird Al Yankovic in concert.
That's awesome.
Which was so fun. He has on this tour, he has a 41-piece orchestra backing him up.
I love that.
So it's pretty amazing. He was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knew? Well, I guess probably a lot of people know. I've never seen him live, but my niece and nephew were super into him, so we surprised them. It was fun. But anyways, I've also read a lot of great books this summer. Have you all read anything fabulous this summer?
I actually finished One of Us is Lying recently.
Did you enjoy the rest of it? I know you were liking the start of it.
I was a bit let down by the ending.
That's been a trend with your books this summer.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
What kind of movies are you guys watching?
What kind of movies? I saw Lion King yesterday. It was not great.
Oh, no. Yeah, I heard they took out the song.
Did they? Quite a few songs.
Oops.
And I was kind of just sitting there the entire time thinking I could instead be home watching the original.
That's a bad sign.
So I'm not sure if I should want to watch it or not, because like I heard a lot of people, and you know, like the tomato,
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Rotten Tomato rating. It's like they have like 50% or something.
I usually don't agree with Rotten Tomatoes ratings or any like professional critics' ratings, but they were actually right in this one. Yeah. Like I thought they were over exaggerating how like emotionless the CGI animals looked, but they really can't emote at all. Made me sad.
I prefer the original.
It was like watching a nature documentary with like some vague animation and voiceovers.
Oh, that sounds great.
I prefer the original one, like even though I didn't watch it.
I saw Toy Story 4 with my niece and nephew.
That was really fun.
I liked it a lot. I mean, I like the Toy Story movies; they're all great. So it was fun. And I finally saw on video. I saw the Spider-Man Miles Morales movie. I forget what it's called.
Into the Spider-Verse. It's on Netflix, so I need to make time to watch it.
It was awesome. I'm not even that into Spider-Man, but apparently Miles Morales Spider-Man's pretty great.
Yeah.
And it made me want to read some Spider-Gwen, too.
So the original Spider-Man actor didn't act it?
Well, it's an animation.
Oh.
Yeah, it was. Okay. It's like animated as if you are reading a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
That is moving. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I saw like the first like brief like sneak peek of it when I went to see Venom, and it had a sneak peek of it like at the end credits, and I thought it looked really cool.
Yeah, and I heard like recently that like there's, I think, is there a new Spider-Man movie coming out?
There's also
Far
a live
Home
action one too
came yeah out recently,
and I think the original actor, the male actor, is not
well, they've changed Spider-Man over time. I think this is the third Spider-Man in the past 20 something years. I have no idea. But yeah, so he was the same actor that was in Homecoming.
Yeah.
And that was in the more recent Avengers movies.
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet, but someday. But yeah. Have you read any good books this summer?
I only read two of the Bound by Books book.
Or Battle of the Books.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's hard.
I mix them up all the time too.
Yeah. Bound by Books.
There's
Battle
a lot
of books.
There's a lot of B's involved.
B, 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 B.
It should be Bound by Books / Battle of the Books.
Yeah.
So which two have you read?
I forgot.
The Hate U Give.
The
I know
Hate
you
U
read.
Give.
What was the other one?
And then the other one with the aliens. I forgot. Hold on.
The aliens.
No. I always remind them. I forgot the title.
Aristotle and Dante?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, okay.
That one. Because it's A for aliens.
Oh.
And the universe.
Yeah, and the universe.
I was like, I don't think there's any books with aliens in them.
No.
But
I mean, I thought that book was sci-fi when I first read the title, too.
So mm-hmm. I also always like to remember like science fiction as aliens. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
But even though it's not about aliens.
Yeah.
It's just a weird word association.
That's how I remember
that's
it.
That's funny.
Like, to, you know, remember it. Stuff.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy them?
I like the Hate U Give more.
Cool. Yeah. I like them both a lot. And I know Amelia's been reading some Battle of the Books as well.
I read Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo. I read One of Us is Lying by... I was just repeating this to myself.
The Aristotle Dante.
Kelly M. McManus, right?
Yes. Kelly? I thought it was Karen.
Karen, maybe?
Maybe. I know.
We have to know by competition time, but it's okay to not know now.
By Miss McManus. And
Ms. McManus.
And now I'm reading The Darkest Part of the Forest by Holly Black, which is really nice so far, actually.
Is it a horror?
No, it is a fantasy. I can read the back for you if you want. In the woods is a glass coffin, and in it sleeps a boy with horns on his head and ears as pointed as knives. Hazel and her brother Ben live in Fairfold, where humans and the folk exist side by side. Since they were children, Hazel and Ben have been telling each other stories about the boy in the glass coffin, that he is a prince and they are valiant knights. But as Hazel grows up, she puts aside those stories. Hazel knows the horned boy will never wake until one day he does. So I've gotten to the point where he has woken up. It doesn't, like, drag that out too much, thank goodness. And I thought it was interesting, like, in most fantasy books where the real world is also kind of there, usually it's the children who know that, like, fairies or ghosts or supernatural things exist, and the parents and older people are kind of, like, dismissive of it and think it's just rumors or don't believe in it at all. Meanwhile, this book literally starts first chapter right off the bat with all the kids in high school having an after football party around the glass coffin that this boy is sleeping in. Mm-hmm. Hence, like, a literal tradition that the high school has. So in this town, everyone knows that these things exist and everyone believes it without question. That's like a really interesting setting to have where mm-hmm. everyone, regardless of age or belief, knows that these exist, to the point where I think one woman actually ends up that her babe replaced her. And that's really, really cool. So they even have some inhuman characters, like, in the school and living as humans, too.
Cool.
Yeah, I liked that book a lot. The writing's really great, too.
Yeah.
There's lots of fantastical adventures to come for you.
Yeah.
That book.
I'm very happy because usually it's just tiring to read if, like, the parents are just like, it's not real, and the kids constantly have to dodge around their parents when talking about, like, the supernatural. When this, you don't have that, like, barrier or restriction there. Everyone just believes in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool. The only people who really don't believe in it are tourists that come to their town, which they explain in the first chapter, too, that they have a lot of tourists because of their fair folk. And a lot of the tourists end up disappearing because they don't know how to properly deal with the more malevolent creatures in their forest.
So what do you mean disappearing?
Well, the book, like, draws from a lot of, like, not just, like, the typical fairy, like, stuff, but also, like, the more malevolent ones. that were believed in a long time ago. So like hags, kelpies, I think are mentioned at one point, which is really cool because kelpies are just really cool to me. They're basically horses that if you pet them, they'll stick to you and they will drag you into a pond. But one of the tourists ends up falling victim to a kelpie in like one of the chapters, which I think is cool. So those are like the disappearances that all the townspeople just accept, because if they don't mind the fairies, then it's their own fault.
Mm-hmm.
Basically is the mindset of this book. It's a morally questionable mindset, but it's an interesting mindset and sets up an interesting setting that makes you want to read more. So that's a plus.
Yay. I don't think that one's part of a series. I can't remember. Maybe it is.
There's hard to keep track. Book on the back that says, there's a little thing on the back that says, don't miss the coldest girl in Cold Town.
Oh, that's a different book.
But I don't know if it's attached.
It's not. That was an earlier book of hers that I know Ingrid really liked back in the day when that came out. So I have a couple books I could talk about. None of them are Battle of the Books books because I read those a while ago. But I recently read a really great graphic novel called On a Sunbeam by Tilly Walden. And I read a book and talked about on the show earlier this year by Tilly Walden called Spinning, which was a graphic novel memoir. And this is not a memoir. It's a fictional book set in outer space. And the main character's name is Mia, and she has gone to this boarding school and is a freshman and falls in love her freshman year. But then something happens and she gets separated from her love. And then it cuts back and forth time between that time period in school and in the future when she's graduated from high school and has joined the crew of the ship that goes around, this team. They go around and they fix up buildings that are in disrepair throughout the universe. And she's joined the team to do that work, but also because she wants to find this person that she was separated from when she was in high school. And she wants to connect with them. So it's about her joining this team and getting to know the team and the work that they're doing, and also trying to connect with her long-lost love. And one of the things that's really interesting about this graphic novel is that there's no characters that identify as male. There is one character that uses the pronoun they, but everyone else is seemingly female. Or at least goes by she.
And this is a sci-fi setting?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a super heavy book. That was the one downside to it. It was really hard to read because it was so heavy. So I'd be wanting to read and have to, like, prop it up because it was such a big book.
Oh, like, actual like, physical weight you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant as in tone. That's interesting.
Yeah, I meant actual physical weight. Every once in a while, there's a graphic novel that's just so big that it makes it physically hard to read. But no, it was a great book. I read it fairly fast given how big it was. But this is, again, my second book from Tilly Walden, and I really have enjoyed both of them a lot. I think I maybe enjoyed this one more, but it's hard to compare a memoir, like, you know, where it's about real life, to a sci-fi story. They're just very different.
I do love books that, like, skip in the between the past and, like, the present and the future, so you can, like, almost read where they meet in the middle. My friend once told me about a play, which is technically literature, that, like, played with that theme, in which a man, it, like, follows a man and a woman's relationship from the first time they met to their relationship eventually falling apart in their divorce. But it starts with the male character, the husband, at the beginning of their relationship, meeting her for the first time, and the woman is moving backwards from the divorce, and they meet in the middle at their wedding, which is, my friend told me about this play, and I can't remember what it was called, but it sounds like,
interesting.
Like a really fascinating way to tell a story, and she said it was very good, so.
Yeah, I like when stories skip around in time. Some of them do it more than this one. This one just really went between these two time periods that are pretty specific, you know, it was like a very brief period of time in both timelines. But I've seen some that do it even more so than that.
And what book is that?
Amelia couldn't remember what the play was.
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, but the graphic novel's On a Sunbeam by Tilly Walden, and it is fantastic. And then I'm really excited about the book I'm reading now. It's really great so far. I'm almost done with it, but I'll talk about it next week. It's called Little and Lion by Brandi Colbert, and it was a Stonewall Book Award winner. And it also has a little bit of going back and forth in time, but mostly is in the present, so to speak. It's set over a summer, and one of the characters is home from boarding school. And so some of it is flashbacks to the before when she was in boarding school. Some of it flashes back to earlier in the childhood of the two main characters, our brother and sister. I'll talk more about that next week.
Oh, the name of the play was The Last 5 Years. I just quickly phoned a friend to find out. Or messaged her.
Phoned a friend. We'll have to check that out. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. If you're listening on Sunday, stick around for a little bit more from us. But if you're here Thursday, have a great week. Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, 90.7 FM. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm here with Amelia and Mashuda.
Hello.
Hello. I was just too into reading the poem.
Yay.
There's nothing wrong with being too into poetry.
We're going to read some poems. Mm-hmm. We were pre-gaming.
Yeah.
During the music break. So we're going to share a few poems that we have found. I think these are all on poets.org.
Yeah.
You can find lots of fabulous poems by lots of people on lots of themes and topics.
Yeah.
I'll start with mine that I found, which is called Summer Haibun. It's by Amy Nazuka Matatil. To everything, there is a season of parrots. Instead of feathers, we searched the sky for meteors on our last night. Salamanders use the stars to find their way home. Who knew they could see that far, fix the tiny beads of their eyes on distant arrangements of lights so as to return to wet and wild nests? Our heads tilt up and up, and we are careful to never look at each other. You were born on a day of peaches splitting from so much rain and the slick smell of fresh tar and asphalt pushed over a cracked parking lot. You were strong enough, even as a baby, to clutch a fistful of thistle, and the sun himself was proud to light up your teeth when they first swelled and pushed up from your gums. And this is how I will always remember you when we are covered up again by the pale mica flecks on your shoulders, some thrown there from your own smile, some from my own teeth. There are not enough jam jars to can the summer sky at night. I want to spread those little meteors on a hunk of still warm bread this winter. Any trace left on the knife will make a kitchen sink like that evening air, the cool night before, star showers, so sticky, so warm, so full of light. Mm-hmm. That was Summer Haibun by Amy Nazuka Matatil.
I have one called The Moon by Robert Louis Stevenson, which I think was shared this week because the moon landing anniversary was recently, wasn't it?
It was.
The moon has a face like the clock in the hall. She shines on thieves and on garden walls, on streets and fields and harbor quays, and birdies asleep in the forks of the trees. The squalling cat and the squeaking mouse, the howling dog by the door of the house, the bat that lies in bed at noon, all love to be out by the light of the moon. But all of the things that belong to the day cuddle to sleep to be out of her way. The flowers and children close their eyes till up in the morning the sun shall arise.
Mm, that's nice.
Yeah.
I have a poem that's called A Journey by Nikki Giovanni, 1943. It's a journey that I propose. I am not the guide nor technical assistant. I'll be your fellow passenger. Though the rail has been ridden, winter clouds cover autumn's exuberant quilt. We must provide our own guideposts. I have heard from previous visitors the road washes out sometimes and passengers are compelled to continue. Groping or turn back, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of rough spots or lonely times. I don't fear the success of this endeavor. I am raw in a space not to be discovered but invented. I promise you nothing. I expect your promise of the same. We are simply riding a wave that may carry or crash. It's a journey that I want to go.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a unique style. The author uses a lot of pause in between.
Yeah, it goes dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, instead of like switching a line.
Mm-hmm. I'll read another one. This one is called The Poet Tree by Shel Silverstein. Underneath the poet tree, come and rest a while with me and watch the way the word web weaves between the shady story leaves. The branches of the poet tree reach from the mountains to the sea. So come and sit and dream and climb. Just don't get hit by falling rhymes.
Ooh, I like that word play.
Yeah, that was fun. That was from Falling Up by Shel Silverstein, which is the Shel Silverstein that I know the least of his main books of poetry. I know Where the Sidewalk Ends and Light in the Attic very well. I think I read those like a zillion times as a kid.
I think I found one more. It's about the moon again. Cool. Well, technically this is in between the sun and moon, so it's two spatial bodies in one poem.
Ooh.
It's by Padraig O'Tuama. In between the sun and moon, I sit and watch and make some room for letting light and twilight mingle, shaping hope and making single glances last eternity a little more. Extending love beyond the doors of welcoming while wedding all the parted people, even sons to violent mothers, and searching all the others, finding light where twilight lingers in between the sun and moon.
Cool.
These are some really beautiful ones we got today. I really like these.
Yeah. And you can find more like these on poets.org.
Yep.
There's other sites too. There's lots of poetry that's available online. We also have a lot of poetry at the library. It's very nice that you can borrow. Fun. But yeah, we're out of time for today. So thanks everyone for listening. Hope you have a great week with lots of quality reading time. Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye. Sometimes I want to cut you down. Gotta scratch that itch, cause the time is now. I tell you that you gotta have a heart of steel. If you wanna keep up, can you afford to feel? I'm the system wrong, gotta tear it down. Let it fall to the sea, but like a rusty crown. Through the stars, love the moonbeams glare. Shackles on your feet, gotta disappear. What if I tried to tell you to do it more? Can't you see, baby, love's knocking right at your door? She says, ooh, I just don't know for sure. Don't give up.
Catskill Makers Syndicate debuted their new radio show, Thingularity. It'll be on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m., 90.7 FM. Here's an excerpt of their show live from their West Bridge Street location in Catskill.
Ram, a compendium of critically creative comrades collaborating colloquially to create tooth characters, quirky contraptions, and cranial conflagrations across the county. And now, Serious Science by Total Goofball.
What do I have? Well, let's see.
Are we still talking about projects?
Other projects. Okay. Somebody else kick in on that. What else are we supposed to be working on now?
We're supposed to be working on the bridge project for the Black Bridge located in Catskill. We were approached by the Catskill Horticultural Club for a project that would...
Cultivate Catskill. They're going to be real mad if you misnamed it.
Sorry. Yeah. Cultivate Catskill. I mean, no disrespect. I am merely ignorant. It is Cultivate Catskill that approached us and would like us to figure out a way to water plants that would be suspended from the Black Bridge. After several rounds of debate, we have come up with probably one really good design and several crappy ones. The good design has been pitched and wheels are in motion. We're hoping to get some prototypes going this year. If so, we might be doing that for some rudimentary watering of the Bridge Street Bridge flowers. Otherwise, that project's probably going to be revealed next year, and once it's done, trust me, everybody listening will be a little bit surprised. It'll be nice. Without going into too much detail, that way we're not confined to any specific
idea. It's gonna
be so
cool.
But
you guys said this and that. You promised.
No, we promise you water. That is all we promise.
But this is Catskill, and I'm sure about 8 or 9 people will be really mad and really vocal about it.
Because they hate water.
Like, no, that's just the Schadenfreude. It's the hobo. You ever know about the hobo blood?
Not this again.
The hobo blood.
Hobo blood.
Does that angry up quicker?
It's just like there's just there's hobo blood in the ground here from 100 or so years ago, and it just makes people mad sometimes.
Does it leach into the food, and it is consumed by everyone, and it rots away at their brain? I don't get it.
It's just the spirit of the hobo. He wanders up and down the creek at night.
The spirit of the hobo.
Searching for the descendants of those who...
Oh, bestowed to us through the ages from Rip Van Winkle himself.
Yeah. We're not sure.
The original hobo.
No, this was after that. It was his... I don't know if he was... he passed away in the creek, and his blood came down the north and south branch of Spring Street, or whether he was buried in a wall in the basement of the jail. We are not sure about the details. But there is a ghost hobo that wanders up and down the creek of Catskill. And his spirit just makes people angry and full of Schadenfreude here once in a while. So, 7 people mad at what we do at the bridge, but everyone else will be happy.
This dark specter that he speaks of is not an actual apparition, but merely a concept, just to be clear.
Please don't go down to the creek and looking for a hobo.
You will not find one, and if you do, it will not be a ghost. Run.
And you'll probably see him more likely hanging down at, Price Chopper, late at night. So.
Representative Antonio Delgado held another town hall meeting, the 4th of this week, on August 1st, in Delaware County. Here's an excerpt.
I've been watching what's been going on in Congress for quite a while. And you mentioned legislation. What I've witnessed lately is if the House passes legislation, the Senate is a place where it dies. There's a block there. Seems to be one guy. And if he doesn't like what a bipartisan bill has been proposed, if he doesn't like it, one guy doesn't like it, it doesn't make it to the Senate floor. Now, the way that I look at it is, if there's a bipartisan bill that comes from the House to the Senate, then let the Senate vote on it. But don't just stop it right there. How do we get past this? One guy, no one we're talking about, how do we solve it?
Well, that's a great question. I repeat the question for those who didn't hear. Even when the House can pass, in some cases, bipartisan legislation, when it gets to the Senate, the rules are such that notwithstanding the fact that it was bipartisan in the House, it probably might even pass the Senate if you combine enough Republicans and Democrats. But we currently have a Senate leader who refuses to put anything to the floor. And the question is, how do we stop that? Well, a few things about this. And this is not an answer that's going to be able to happen overnight. It's unfortunate. But one of the things that I'm trying to do is first and foremost make sure that I identify as much legislation as I possibly can be bipartisan, first of all. Then I identify anything in the Senate that remotely looks like what I'm working on, and then attach myself to what's going on over there with the hope that I can at least have a chance to survive. Not enough members are even trying that approach, to be clear. You know why they're not trying that approach? And I'm not letting the Senate off the hook, I'm just telling you. They're not trying that approach because of the way in which we are drawing our districts. That's why. They are so partisan. They are so gerrymandered that we have super red seats, we have super blue seats, and so there's no incentive for members of Congress to think about how to find common ground and work on a bipartisan basis. They're actually more worried about being primary, because if they get to the primary, they're gonna win the general. So it's always about who can I be more left of if you're in a blue seat, or who can I be more right of if I'm in a red seat. That does not foster cooperation. That's the big thing right there. But even when it comes to the rules of the House, right? It's about the rules that the House sets. And we have to make sure that we're putting people in Congress who will push back against these rules. We have to vote on these rules. We decide as a body, right? And so it's important that we hold those officials accountable. What's the thing called the Hassert rule? We're basically in the House, right? In the House, even if a majority of Republicans, at least in the prior Congress, if a majority of Republicans and Democrats, a majority, add them all up, right, what a 218 combined say, we want this bill. The prior speaker would not put that bill to a vote for the floor because not enough of the power, the party in power, the majority power party, wanted to do it. The only time they put bills to the House floor is if the majority of the party in power would say, okay, we're doing it. Now, how does that make any sense? How? How does that make sense in a politically diverse country like ours? Right? The benefit of a district like this one, a third independent, a third Republican, a third Democrat. So I have every incentive to figure out how to find some common ground here. How to make sure that everybody feels, to some degree, represented and heard. And there's not enough people that come from seats like this that feel that way in Congress. So we gotta change some of the institutional dynamics in that place. And then, of course, call out Mitch McConnell for what he's doing day in and day out. And you better believe I do that. I just want to make sure I understand. So your point is that the insurance provider has limitations into who can be on the plan.
Yes.
And the limitation as it pertains to you and your wife is it will not take both of you on the plan because both of you can get insurance coverage elsewhere via your own separate employers.
Correct.
Okay. The reason why that can happen is because the insurance companies currently, the private insurance companies currently have a monopoly on the system and can write the rules as they see fit. The competition is not what it needs to be, and so you don't have any other options. There's nothing for you to be able to figure out how to leave that insurance provider or your wife. You don't have any other options. You're stuck where you're stuck, and so you have to go by their rules. The only way to change that is to inject something like a public option. Something that is a public floor, something that holds the private insurance marketplace more accountable. Now, some folks might say we gotta just take out the entire private insurance marketplace. I mean, that's a big, big leap. Incredibly big leap. So the question, though, is for those who want to keep their health insurance but get more flexibility, get lower premiums, get lower deductibles, what can we do? Well, I can guarantee you that if we put Medicare in the mix as part of the private insurance marketplace, as a nonprofit actor, and give folks the choice to buy into that more affordable healthcare, then all of a sudden you're gonna see a lot of insurance companies acting a little bit different, dropping their premiums a little bit more, adding more benefits to their packages, allowing married couples to join on, because now there's competition. And that's what I think a public option can do in terms of helping folks get a more level, equitable healthcare system. Into the system and force their hands along the way. That, to me, is how we'll do it.
Now, what they're going to do is get together and fix the market.
Well, here's the thing I always find interesting about folks who push back a little bit on public option and the theories about the way the private insurance marketplace might respond, and this is not going to be able to happen, and it's not going to work, and this is too complicated. But none of that logic ever applies to actually just getting rid of the entire insurance marketplace. Which to me sounds like an even more difficult task. So I struggle a little bit of understanding how all those same rational reasons can apply to that, but don't apply to the Herculean task of literally saying we're going to do away with what people rely on, over 160 folks, million folks in our country rely on. That's a very difficult step. So why not? Why not say let's introduce a public option? Bring down the premiums, bring down the deductibles, and see how the market moves accordingly.
Profit is the problem.
Agree that profit is the problem. Agree. So that's why you insert a non-profit actor in the mix. Yes, ma'am.
I've got a nurse for 30 years. And I went to school and I remember writing a note that I got social for 30 years ago. I wanted it then and I want it now. Because I think it's the only way. You should not profit off people's children. Healthcare should not be a business. It's not a business. Every other country has healthcare. They have healthcare. People don't worry about this. How can you live in America? Don't you worry that you're going to get sick? You're going to be broke. You're going to take care of you. This is what I was going to say. And that's fine. Your longevity is longer than yours. Right? Spain, 86. I mean, we just have to go forward.
So the question, actually, I love the question. Or the point, I call it the point. Point being made is that we should just do it. And I get it. We are the richest country in the world. And we're the only developed country in the world, and the richest country in the world, that has no form of universal health care, as you point out. Only one, right? So the thing that gets lost in all that is when people recite that stat, there are a number of developed countries in the world that get thrown into the mix as being universal that do not subscribe, do not implement a single-payer system, and yet they're added to the total of all the developed countries in the world that have universal health care. So the fact of the matter is there are all types of different ways in which we can achieve universal health care. One of those ways is one that I really want to advocate for, because I believe it's the sort of thing that can get everybody on board. Everybody thinking about how we can stop being the only developed country in the world without universal health care and allow folks who want to keep their insurance to do so. But for those who want a better option, a more affordable option, insurance.
It didn't work for a lot.
What didn't work? What didn't work?
That was the project for a
lot. Well, there was no public option in the ACA. You said it didn't work. There was no public option. I'll just say this on this point.
It's not working.
Let's go back to when the ACA passed. I'd like to revisit history a little bit. And let's talk about what we were talking about when the ACA passed. Let's think about the conversation about healthcare then. And let's think about what was really up for discussion during that debate. And what really had momentum and what really didn't have momentum. And how we're thinking about these things. I have a hard time recalling the situation where the conversation around things like Medicare for All and the single payer system were even remotely as fervent as they are now back then. Not even close. And yet we passed the ACA, right? We passed the ACA. We introduced language like guaranteed protections or pre-existing conditions. Things begin to change. Discussions begin to change. All of a sudden, our orientation about healthcare begins to change. So when people start talking about steps and changes and how they don't really matter, well, the fact of the matter is history has taught us that when you do things that you can get done, that when you do things that move the ball in the direction you desire, more change can follow that. Just assume you can jump from A to Z.
How did we get Social Security?
You know how? Yeah. I can tell you, it was a process. It was a process. It just happened overnight. It had to actually work. People had to actually slowly but surely figure out pilot programs to roll out with certain rules. There was a way in which it unfolded gradually over time.
Social Security.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Over 8 years.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I think, as I've been talking about, we can get to universal health care pretty quickly by passing a bill that allows folks the option to buy into Medicare. That is universal health care by definition. It's a nonprofit. It is a nonprofit-based system.
It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Accra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valety. Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and
to use?
Online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
The Cellar and Point call themselves a garage chamber septet, and we'll hear their jazz infused with flourishes of electronics and rock.